Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This crowd rises to its feet. Vaccaro slammed it home. Garland left wing. Three ball. Perfect. Garland went to the lane. Locked. The Mobley pow. And Allen blocked the shot at the rim. Pow with the left hand and a foul.
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Cavs Media family. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Chase Down is presented by Fubo, the official streaming partner of the Cavs. Watch over 350 channels of live sports and TV, including Bally Sports Ohio, without cable. There's no cost and no commitment. Try for free at FuboTV.com/Cavs. The Cleveland Cavaliers have gone 1-1 since we last recording, winning against the Utah Jazz and getting dismantled by the Phoenix Suns. We will be diving into those games a little bit, but with the standings race coming down to the wire, I think the best thing to do is look at the tiebreakers, look at where the Cavs stand, talk about the recent play of Evan Mobley, because a lot of the takeaways from these last two games have been similar to what we've been discussing the last few podcasts, frankly. And joining me today to discuss all of that is my co-host Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Justin, but I need you to fill for 2 seconds because Kylie just opened the door and it seems semi-urgent. So go ahead, Phil, bye.
All right, I will absolutely fill. So I want to break things down by talking about the remaining seedings, the standings, where what the Cavs schedule looks like. Obviously, we know this road trip is incredibly important. We've talked about how we want to see the Cavs go at least 2-2 on the road trip. And obviously, a 1-1 start to that is a step in the right direction. You'd like to see them get at least one of these next two games against LA. But with Orlando hot on their tail, with the New York Knicks hot on their tail, and both teams in possession of tiebreakers, this thing is probably going to go all the way down to the wire.
Yeah, it may. Todd was just throwing up. Not that urgent. Kyler's trying to figure out if I'd already fed him or not.
Dogs being gross.
That kind of sounds like a guys being dudes reference, but you know, it had the same cadence to it.
It is. Actually, I want to ask you, does Todd ever trick one of you into a second meal?
No. Well, you know, the interesting thing about my giant Bernese Mountain Dog, kind of a peckish eater. He's not a big eater. He's only 70 pounds. I know you've never met the lad, but his mother is about 100 pounds. So, you know, he's a runt. He's a light eater, which we like, prolongs that lifespan. Cause big dogs don't last very long, Justin. So, the fact that he's a little bit smaller is very nice. However, the scumbag cat, on the other hand, is quite the fraud, and will eat until his stomach ruptures. So, you know, I thought I was going to get one animal that could graze and one animal that I would have to, ration the food for. Turns out, I did just,
the other way around. Yeah.
Except I can't leave the dog's food out because the cat will eat the dog's food.
That makes sense. You know, having a beagle, she's going to eat absolutely everything. If I feed her
trash compactors, not trash dogs.
100%. Like a goldfish, she would explode. If I feed her and then leave for the evening and then Trish comes home, she will scratch at the food pretending she hasn't got supper. Like there's all kinds of manipulation, all things going on. But We need to talk about the Cavs. Much more important than the eating habits of our dogs. And you know, speaking of manipulation, I've seen a lot of people kind of talking about standings manipulation, where you'd like to land and whatnot. This is such a tight race that I just don't think that it is even possible. I mentioned the complications of both the Knicks and the Magic having those tiebreakers against the Cavs. And I got a little bit curious because since we've last recorded, the Milwaukee Bucks have kind of opened the door for the Cavs. Even though the Cavs aren't playing particularly well, the fact that the Bucks went out and lost to Washington, lost to Memphis, it keeps them in that range where Cleveland could theoretically catch them because Cleveland has the tiebreaker. And that got my mind thinking, Carter, because the Orlando Magic, even though we split the season series against them, they have a tiebreaker on the Cavs because they are leading their division. And I realized, what happens if we end up tied with Orlando, but we overtake Milwaukee? Went through seven layers of tiebreakers and the rules and whatnot. It actually is the seventh tiebreaker, which is conference record. I believe it's actually conference record against playoff teams is what it would come down to. And right now, Orlando has a three-game edge in that. So I think it's safe to assume, barring something really weird happening, that both the Knicks and the Magic would have the tiebreaker. We will continue to have the tiebreaker against the Bucks no matter what happens.
So the Bucks could very conceivably fall into the five seed.
There's a realistic possibility that we could have a 4-5 matchup, Cavs versus Bucks. Like, that's insane.
Among the very insane things that, I mean, that's on the list. And, you know, it's funny, you talked about how the schedules are just too wild for there to be any standings manipulation. I would argue that no one's playing well enough to manipulate the standings. You can't throw on Tuesday knowing that you're going to win on Thursday, because right now Thursday is no guarantee for any of these teams.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And you know, looking at the schedules, because I think that's all we
really
except
Orlando, who's never going to lose again. Sorry.
No, of course not.
Important distinction to make there.
The Cavs do have fewer games left than every other team pretty much in the Eastern Conference. They've got five left. I think the Magic has six. Bucks also have six. But looking at it right now, in terms of games against winning teams, the Cavs and Knicks have the fewest left. The Knicks are playing the Kings tonight. That's one of three games they have left against teams over 500. They also play the Bucks as well as the Celtics. Cavs, obviously, they play the Lakers and Clippers and Pacers. Those are their three games against teams above 500. And then close out the season with the Grizzlies and Hornets as well. Orlando gets a little bit interesting. So they play Houston, who has been playing well even without Alperen Şengün. They play the Bucks twice, and they play the Sixers. And then their games against teams with losing records are the Hornets and the Bulls. And then, of course, the Bucks have the toughest schedule of all, which is why I think catching them is, even though the Cavs aren't playing particularly well, it's still a realistic possibility because they do play Toronto, which, you know, given their current form, they could lose to potentially anybody. But after that, they play the Knicks, they play the Celtics, they play the Magic, they play the Thunder, and then they play the Magic again. The thing that gets crazy is because these teams all are playing one another, it's really hard to
track the shape of how things will move.
It's going to be hard to figure out who we want to even prioritize, like who we want to root for in those individual games, because it really could go either way.
I guess I'll just root for whoever the lower seed is, but I don't think I want to do that either.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anyone to catch us, because I don't think we're playing good enough ball. So I don't know. I don't know what my... I guess my question to you is, like, I know that we've talked about this a little bit, but, like, at this point, is it just... You just want as high of a seed as possible because that meant the team played as well as they could have played? Or are you at the point now where you are interested in how it's going to shake out? Because I'll tell you what, a first round date with Eric Spoelstra doesn't sound so good to me.
Yeah, obviously I care about opponent, but there's just no controlling that. And with the way that the Cavs are currently playing, I don't know if you'd have a lot of confidence in any individual series. The only thing that you can
really... They're playing worse than all the teams that are in the top six.
The only thing that you can really kind of rely on from a confidence standpoint right now is that the Cavs have done it in the past. As I continue to blow my voice, I don't know what's happening today. But right now, you talk about the Magic and Knicks catching the Cavs. They functionally have. When yeah. all three teams have the same number of losses, that means the Cavs have to lose fewer games than either of those teams moving forward. Because you can make up wins, you cannot make up losses. So in my mind, even though the Cavs are currently in three, they're functionally almost in five until one of those teams lose more than us. And, you know, with the Knicks only having three games
Let's
left.
Let's go, Kings. Let's go, Kings.
Well, you certainly want them to win that one because Bucks and Celtics, those are going to be, you know, those are big ones. You feel good about the upper seeds in those spots. Obviously, the Knicks were dealt a blow today with Julius Randle being ruled out for the remainder of the year. You know, you hate to see that. I totally get where he was coming from, you know, trying to compete and hold this off because, like, as much as we want to beat the Knicks at some point, and that's going to be a rivalry moving forward, that's a hell of a team. That's a really, really, really damn good team, and he's a hell of a competitor, so I don't begrudge him for holding it off as long as possible. But when you look at that, man, like, there's just not a lot of, you know, sure losses with any of these teams. And with the Cavs' current form, those three games that they have left against winning teams, none of them feel like, oh yeah, Cavs will go ahead and win that. Like, I feel decent about the Pacers, but the Lakers are 8-2. And the Clippers, even though they're 500, you're going to be playing them on the second night of a back-to-back. They're going to be rested. And that's still a team that can give the Cavs fits.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at the standings on the point differentials right now. The Pacers are barely worse on the season than the Cavs are in terms of differential. And really, they're only three games back. It's not like, you know, the difference between the three and the seven seed normally feels a little bit more significant, but Cavs are plus 2.7 per game. The Pacers are plus 2.4, and they're in better form, even though that's no great shakes, but just kind of goes to show where the Cavs are. You know, they're not a top 20 team by net rating after the All-Star break. So I don't really think there's a matchup that looks good. However, I do think there are matchups that look bad, look scarier, you know, and like that's where I don't know. You probably just don't have the luxury of even trying to manipulate till the very end of the year. Yeah. Those last two games against Indiana and Charlotte. But yeah, it's going to be a wild run, baby.
Yeah, it really is. And the tricky thing too is with a lot of the kind of those tougher games for the other teams around us, they come later in the year. So you don't know necessarily who's going to be resting and who's not. Obviously the Bucks closing out with those five games, they might have to play everybody down the stretch. Like every single one of those games is basically going to be a must win because, like we said, like there's a realistic possibility still that they fall down to five. And, you know, from a Cavs standpoint, obviously, like I would like to play Indy. I'd like to play Orlando relative to the other options because there's just not as much playoff experience on those teams. And we've seen how much that can matter. But what it's really going to come down to for Cleveland, I think, is the health of the guards overall. Like, you know, Donovan talked today. I believe it was Chris Fedor that did the reporting, basically saying, hey, I'm going to keep playing this out. I'm not being shut down or anything like that. Clarifying that there's nothing structurally wrong with the knee and he intends to be ready for the playoffs. The exact quote via Chris Fedor is starting to feel more and more like myself. It's not going to happen overnight for me. As much as it sucks, I have to be patient. I was happy with how I came out in the second half and how I felt. Continue building on that. It wasn't perfect, obviously, but we're at my best when I'm aggressive and continuing to get downhill. Saw it in spurts, just trying to get back into my flow. And, you know, I think it's fair to say that he's not going to be at 100% at any point this season. Few players are this late in the year. But there's probably a variety of factors here that, you know, can make it look worse than it even is, right? When you consider he hasn't really played since the All-Star break, so he's trying to get into shape. Conditioning is going to be off on a good day. It's going to be even harder when, you know, you have a fractured nose. You can only breathe out of one nostril. Your sight lines are impaired.
That's a heck of a report.
your sight lines are impaired because you're wearing a mask. Your confidence to go, you know, to the rim is going to be impacted by a facial injury. We've seen that with both of our guards. Like, it's just a cascading number of things that you really feel for him. And on top of everything, you have a team that's just generally worn out, that's played 24 games in the last 42 days.
That's a crazy stat pull, by the way. I did not realize it had been that many. It's felt like, well, you know, I think it's like, have you ever heard that old Roger Ebert quote? There's, it's like, no good movie is ever too long and no bad movie is ever too short.
Yes.
Like, I feel like no schedule when you're playing well is ever, you're never playing enough. And when you're playing poorly, it's like there, you never get enough of a break. It's like, and like, it's definitely felt like a little rain. When it rains, it pours with a schedule. 24 games in 42 days is banana pancakes, dude.
It's ridiculous to begin with. And then when you factor that they have been on the road for a month, they've been traveling between every single game for a month. They finally get 2 days off here and they get two games in the same city. That city just happens to not even be Cleveland. It's two games in LA and then they have the three game homestand. So I like, we had that stretch circled from the start of the year that this is going to be something that really tests the team. And when you factor in, okay, so the guys that were dealing with Garland and Mobley being out, all of those guys took on an extra burden, and every single one of them dealt with some sort of like fatigue injury, right? Like you got Dean Wade, Isaac Okoro, Max Strus, Jared Allen's talked about being worn down, and you can see it on all of them. And then you amplify that by Donovan's been out. So that makes everything even more difficult on guys. And Darius has been back, but he's been dealing with, you know, this recurring ankle injury and just hasn't been himself. So there,
I don't think I realized how beat up Donovan's been when he's been on the floor. I think in that same story, Chris mentioned that it was the first time Donovan had scored 20 after the All-Star break. Or maybe the first or second time. I don't remember the exact quote, but I was like, oh my God, he really? I mean, talk about a guaranteed 30 a night guy.
Well, and also he's someone that's, you know, been the tide that lifts all boats. And you look at, you know, on off splits since the All-Star break, and, you know, I'm by no means putting blame on Donovan. Like, he's clearly been limited and whatnot. But you look at since the All-Star break, they're 17 points worse with him on the court. It's team worse. And that's 100% what he's been dealing with physically, the limitations of being able to move and whatnot. But like, he has done so much for the Cavs this season to, you know, elevate lineups, to help weather the storm when it came to injuries, you know, dealing with the hamstring
and everything.
In a way
that he'd never done in his career thus far. You know, he had hit a new level in terms of actively impacting winning on the floor. You know, he was never the lineup on-off differential guy. That was always a stat you kind of had to ignore with him if you were making the case for him. And this year he has been that. So to see it swing so hard with him banged up is really, really disappointing. Something I wanted to kind of ask you about is, you know, he's talking about how he's, you know, starting to feel more like himself. He's trying to get himself ready for the playoffs. I wonder if it's less about getting into form and more about figuring out how he can succeed within the form he's in.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking writ large, and I'll go ahead and posit this question to you as kind of a thought starter, but like I kind of joked, I think in the Discord, like maybe they should just shut him and Darius down for the last five games of the year and just give yourself like 15-16 days of rest before the postseason, just to see if they can get those guys back to normal. And but then I was thinking, you know, if the knee isn't gonna get better with, you know, another week of rest or whatever it may be, maybe he actually does need as many reps as possible at this current level of explosion to figure out how he's going to impact winning on the offensive side of the floor. Because, you know, it just feels like, you know, I'm not seeing him any more explosive, to be honest. I'm seeing him figure out how to accommodate with the current explosiveness he has. What do you think?
I've seen it in bursts. Like I thought his first two takes, basically like the first three that he made, as well as the take to the basket, I was like, oh, that's actually like a decent amount of burst there. But then you see, you know, there isn't the lift on the jumpers. I do,
you know,
where
I really see is when he's running back in transition. It's like he's kind of laboring to get back a lot.
For sure. And, you know, I do think one thing I'm keeping in mind is like when guys miss a considerable amount of time, it takes a while when they're not even playing through, you know, a knee issue to get that burst back where you see them kind of explode on the screen. So, you know, there might be that conditioning aspect to it. I agree. Like, I think there's going to be problem solving over these next five games to figure out how we're going to play and how we're going to accommodate what guys are able to bring to the table and what they kind of have left. But from Donovan's standpoint, like, it's possible, you know, just speaking as someone that's come back from several injuries and whatnot, like, your knee might be at the point where it's stronger than you trust it to be. And you're just like, you're not exploding off of it just because, you know, you're being a little cautious and you just, you're not making the same type of moves, that you're not making as sharp of cuts just because you don't have that trust in it yet. And, you know, him saying that there's nothing structurally wrong, nothing that is going to get worse from playing is encouraging. But it does sound like kind of one of those fatigue issues where, you know, it's just going to need to be managed, and you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. And the nice thing about the playoffs is there isn't back-to-backs. You only have the one back-to-back here against the LA teams. And, you know, that's going to be a tough physical game because both of those teams need those games as bad as the Cavs do. But I do think, you know, figuring things out, figuring out how to play off of one another is so damn important, because we saw it last year with Isaac missing a month and then, you know, starting cold in the playoffs. It's just so damn hard to get that rhythm, especially like Isaac, who wasn't at 100% in those playoffs. It would be the same thing for Donovan, right? Like, he'd be going through that process of learning how to get confidence with the knee, trying to get back into game shape, having not really played since the All-Star break. Like, it's just so many things that I think you either go this route where, you know, you try to figure it out over these remaining games that you have, or you basically just call it a season and,
yeah, pull the ripcord.
Yeah, and Donovan's, you know, such a competitor, and he's been so dedicated to the Cavs throughout his whole time here. I'm not surprised that this is the route that he's choosing to go.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Yeah, and to your point about the rest and the lack of back-to-backs, from 4-8 to 4-20, which is, you know, the start of the playoffs. We don't know when the Cavs are going to play, but based on where they are right now, I would presume they're going to play on opening night of the playoffs, just because there's no play-in team that they would probably be playing. Unless somehow they take the 2 seed, in which case, you know, who knows. Point is, between the 8th and the start of the playoffs, they have 3 games. 3 games in 12 days. So, you know, that is as good of news as you can find, you know, in terms of like giving him some time to get reps, but also not overextending him. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tricky thing. And again, I lean towards, he's just got to figure out how he's going to succeed on the offensive side of the ball with these limitations. Mm-hmm. Frankly, I am just as concerned, if not more concerned, with the defensive end of the ball.
Yeah.
In that game against the Suns, I thought he did a lot better on offense. There were some times where he just can't close out plant and then recover right now. Or isn't, you know, I don't know, you know, who's to say what's injury, what's fatigue, what's, you know, just a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know, but there were a lot of plays where they were kicking it to Royce O'Neal, who is not a threat at the rim. And Donovan would have to close out semi-hard because Royce was shooting the cover off the ball and then just could not get reconnected to the back hip. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuff just really, really stresses your defense, especially with the fact that we now know at this point, based on the reporting, that the Cavs are not going to be getting a healthy Dean Wade.
Yeah.
And Isaac Okoro is all of a sudden dealing with a toe injury that has taken him out of the last couple games. So it's like, you don't even have your, you know, we talked about it a little bit on the last podcast about how if you're not going to have this stuff going for you, you need to lean harder on your defensive identity.
You're down your two best perimeter defenders.
It's looking harder to lean on your defensive identity when Donovan can't guard the way he has guarded all year. Darius has had a rough year on that end. And, you know, I think he's been a little better the last couple games. Even against Phoenix, I thought he was better. They just, you know, they shot the cover off the ball. But like, he's still not going to be a plus defender in a postseason setting.
Yeah, he's not going to like swing your team defense, right? Like, he's going to get to the point where he's going to be a functional part of your overall team defense. Like, I think that's basically all you can ask for from a point guard, but it's not going to be, you know, game changing impact on the defensive end like you're going to get from those wing and forward positions.
Yeah. So there's just nowhere to hide Donovan right now. And on that side, it's not like, and so it just gets harder to find a path to, like, you know, again, without being a little reductive, I just think the Cavs need to start having a few things going right for them.
Yep.
You know, whether it's getting healthy, whether it's a player starting to play outside of his station and outside of his means, like right now, nobody is. And a lot of it, I think, does spring from those two guards just being so limited in what they're giving you on the offensive end right now.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I think they need some stuff to start to break so they can have something to hang their hat on going into the postseason.
Yeah, like that's part of why I'm not super interested in, you know, deep diving on what happened against Utah and what happened against Phoenix. Like, Utah, it was pretty straightforward. That was, I feel like we did this the last time that we played Utah, but, you know, different defensive gripe. But that was like the worst pick and roll defense I think I've seen all season long. Like, it was so easy for Darius. Like, they would blitz Darius. That was really all they had. And Darius would make the pass to Mobley or Allen, who would either finish the shot or get an assist themselves. Like, Mobley, Allen, and Strus each had 5 assists apiece. Darius had 8 assists. I believe it was 15 potential assists and 3, you know, secondary assists as well, because it was 2 passes and you're getting an open layup or an open shot, right? Like, it was just so easy from a playmaking standpoint. I didn't even... That was one of the few times that Darius hasn't taken a ton of shots that I didn't really begrudge him for it. Because I'm like, yeah, you're just making the wide open, super easy read as they blitz you.
Over and over and over again. And, so yeah, I don't think either game...
20.
and the reality is, I just don't think either game like lends much to conversation. Because the win against Utah was so straightforward.
Yep.
And then the loss against Phoenix was the same kind of loss we've seen 20 times post All-Star break.
Yeah.
You know? So like,
how many times can we say, hey, the guards need to play better, right? Like, that's the whole part.
Hey,
of
the guards need to play better, and boy, would it be nice if we could shoot as well as the other team that we're playing.
Yeah, and it would be nice if we had our best perimeter defenders back, right? Like, it's just, obviously you want to have Isaac Okoro back, particularly, I think, for the Clippers game, because, you know, I think Lakers, you can probably, I would expect a pretty heavy dose of Marcus Morris, whether or not Okoro's playing.
Here's a take from the Phoenix game. Very strange to me that Marcus Morris didn't play much. It was, you know, I mean, JB basically ran a 6-man rotation in that game.
Yeah.
Which I found surprising. Niang played 11 very painful minutes where Durant beat him up, you know, Can't go to that well twice.
Absolutely everything. Like, he had some crazy shots over Mobley. Like, I just, what, why does he have to do this to us, Carter? I don't like.
It's almost like he's an all-time offensive player. But, you know, I was disappointed not to see a guy like Marcus Morris out there playing the backup 4 minutes in a matchup that clearly was not favoring Niang when the offense wasn't there for him either. You know, I just thought that was, I was surprised and a little disappointed. And, like, the reality is, without Dean, we need, I think they need to play Marcus a little bit and just say, well, on nights where Niang's defense isn't quite where it needs to be, or it's a tough matchup, you know, because the reality is you can only guard KD with Mobley, and they have a couple big, strong centers, especially Nurkic, that when Jarrett and Evan are staggered, you can't do that. Like, you can't put Evan on KD. And I just thought you weren't really able to give yourself a chance in that matchup. So, I think if Dean's not going to be back right, Morris might have to be a 15-minute a night guy.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. And, you know, I thought maybe they would have gone a little deeper with the game out of hand, but they made that run in the third. And you're also trying to weigh, hey, we got 2 days off after this, and these guys really need time together. Like, they need to figure out some stuff because, you know, there are the physical limitations, but then there's also the parts of, we've seen them do better in recent stretches, right? Like, even in the Phoenix game, like, I thought they started the game very well. You want to get them as much chemistry, time together to
figure things out. Yeah, their offense is what betrayed them in the Phoenix game. Like, by the time, like, Phoenix was not doing anything special on defense. They just were giving the ball away.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. So you want to have, you know, the bigs having time to get together. Darius and Donovan, their chemistry isn't where it's been in the past. And, you know, that was something that we were hoping that they could build on from last year is, hey, take what you're already doing well and, you know, amplify that, add to it, add more wrinkles to it and whatnot. And just because of the state that they've been in the games that they're both available, it's gone the other way, right? Like, where it has been a little more your turn, my turn. And, you know, the thing I do really like is you do see that constant communication between them. Like, even when they get frustrated, like, they go back to the huddle, they're talking to one another, they're pointing things out. Like, I like to see the communication out there, but, man, like, it's just disappointing because, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but, like, I feel like this is probably the toughest season that we've had to evaluate and the one that's, like, the least straightforward. Like, it really, really has been a difficult season where you just thought, hey, this is probably one of the best Cavs rosters that's ever been put together, and they just haven't been able to be more than the sum of their parts because of the injuries and everything that they've been through.
Yeah, and just also not just injuries, just things haven't clicked even when they were semi-healthy, you know. It hasn't been quite right, you know. There's just always been something that's been, you know, been lingering. And, you know, you want to put a lot of it at the feet of injuries. You know, there's also a little bit of a mental fatigue. You wonder if the weight of the pressure of needing to show something this season might have weighed on them a little bit. Yeah. Certainly weighed on me.
Honestly, like, I wonder if, you know, they displayed so much mental toughness this season. They overcame so much.
Yep.
And it's, okay, we have, you know, Darius, Donovan, and Mobley are all out. The role guys step up and they go 3-1. Then it's Donovan and Allen cooking. They go 9-3. Good wins over the Bucks. They find a way to take advantage of the schedule. Then Mobley and Garland come back. You go 9-1 on that stretch. The offense kicks to another gear, and we're saying, hey, it's the All-Star break. These guys are going to get a little bit healthier. We're 18-2 here. Garland and Mobley are coming back, and the team's clicking. And then Donovan's out, and Donovan's limited. And you just have to wonder if, to some extent, there was emotional kind of straw that broke the camel's back of, man, we thought we were finally overcoming this, and now our leader is
now
limited.
Now we're more beat up than we've ever been.
Right. And then Dean goes down, and then Max goes down. And you know, Darius rolls his ankle, I think, like 3 times in the last week. Like, it's just, you just haven't been able to catch that break. And, you know, it's understandable, but from a fan standpoint, because as much as we come here and we try to, you know, be honest about our biases, but then also try to provide objective analysis, you know, from a fan standpoint, I really wrestle with understanding that, hey, this has been a lot. I can get how it would be a little deflating because we're deflated just kind of watching it, but also trying to make sure that I still appreciate everything that they did overcome this season, because the toughness they've shown overall this season, man, it's been impressive.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know. It's certainly been a cultural test of a season, you know. And you know, we talk a lot about how growth isn't linear and how there's ups and downs and swings, and normally we're talking about, you know, a team at an individual level. We're talking about a player having a rough stretch in their individual development. Just kind of to your point, it does feel like the team's first non-linear year where they were up for 3 years or 3 years now, two years. And this is the first time where they're gonna have a worse record year over year, almost certainly. You know, they can only match at this point with their, they would have to go 5-0, which, man, would that be fun if we closed out 5-0?
Please.
You know, it'll be the first year where they've dipped in this era. And I think, you know, obviously, you know, who knows how the playoffs go, but, you know, with Darius in the form he's in, Donovan in the health he's in, you know, it is hard to see like a deep run. Mm-hmm. As currently constituted, you know, would love to be pleasantly surprised. Don't get me wrong. I do think like it is just, it's, I think what's most disappointing about this regular season is how little data the front office got to play with.
Yeah.
There's just nothing useful from a sample size perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if that's, you know, if it's just bad luck, if it's guys that are just maybe more prone to getting banged up than others, who knows? But like, ultimately, like, I had a very clear picture of what I wanted Kobe Altman, Mike Gansey in the front office to do in the offseason last year. This year, I'm like, I don't even know what's actionable. You know, it's going to be a real test of, I think this summer is going to be a real test of the front office's gut. Yeah. You know, what are they really, when you don't have the data, you don't have the film, you just have a bunch of vibes and guesses and chunks of play. What are you going to decide to believe in? And like, that is a scary place to be, because when you're dealing with less information, you are often wrong. But I think in a way it'll also
we're a great example of that on the podcast. Like we always know less than the people involved, so that's why we end up wrong.
Yeah, so you know, I think I think that it is a it's definitely that, I think, is what I'm frustrated about, is that I just don't know more about this team than I did 6 months ago.
Yeah, I want to dive into that a little bit, but what you got me thinking a little bit when you talk about, you know, the dips and you know, trying to evaluate, okay, what remains steady, what did have a dip, and how likely is that to remain? And you know, as I'm evaluating this season, the one area where there hasn't been a dip is our support from Zoom. Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Zoom. 500,000 businesses connect using Zoom, a single platform for phone, chat, workspaces, events, apps, and video. Zoom enables real-time collaboration for teams around the globe. Zoom, how the world connects.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com.
one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Carter, honestly, like, I want to take it back even beyond the 3 years, because I think it's interesting to reflect even as a podcast here, because this is, I think, the first season that we've had that doesn't fit neat and tidy into a narrative. Because you had 2017, it's okay, we're a contender. That's when we started the podcast. You're going for a championship. 2018, all right, Kyrie's gone. You're still a contender because you have LeBron James. Then you go into a rebuild. Okay, you're assessing what you have in terms of players. You're keeping an eye on draft position and what the prospects are. Understanding the new lottery odds, there's no real guarantee.
You're going through the painful transition from one era to another.
Right. So it's player development. It's all of those things that we love to dive into. And then, okay, you drafted Evan Mobley. He's a one-man top five defense. You kind of capture lightning in the bottle when it comes to the fit of those guys. All right, you got Donovan. You became a little top heavy because you made a consolidation move, but you have a core four who's, you know, the offense of the guards helps elevate the offense of the lineup. And, you know, when you look at the prior year, the starters were great together, but they weren't great offensively. And bringing Donovan in elevated the two big lineup alongside Darius Garland to be a great offense. And we're sitting here thinking, okay, in the playoffs, they were able to take some of what made us a way special. Some of it was, you know, guys just needing to go through that and become ready for the moment. Let's supplement the core. Let's add the talent. As you said, like, this is going to be such a tough year to evaluate, just because, like you said, it's going to be based on gut. It's going to be based on, okay, like, how much can we count on regression to kind of help us steady the ship and get us going back on the right track? Like, I think the one thing that we've talked about before that I think is important to remember is just the fact that everybody is under contract, right? Like, there isn't as many of those tough decisions. Now, you're going to have to make some of those decisions, I think, when it comes to role guys, and you're always evaluating what options are out there, but you're not forced to make any one decision here. So that, I think, is at least a benefit. And, you know, as much as it sucks to kind of be in the spot where it doesn't feel like a step forward has been taken, that can all change with a playoff run. It can click at any point and they can surprise us and make up for everything that's gone on basically since the All-Star break. But if not, it's going to be, you know, relying on the youth, relying or understanding that there's still going to be that internal growth and development. And, you know, even though you have those things to fall back on, just because of the time and where you are in this process, you're going to have to evaluate every single aspect, from the core to the rotation players to the, you know, coaching staff. The front office is going to do self-evaluation. Like, whether that's self-evaluation, whether that's transactions, whatever it is, you're going to have to look at every single level of where can we get better? What can we do to build better habits and, you know, get this thing trending in the right direction with an incomplete data set?
Yeah, it's a test of your belief systems. It's a test of your gut. It's going to be, you know, again, it's just not a clear picture. It is not the way you want to operate as a team. But like, you know, you look at all the great franchises in the league, they don't just get optimal seasons every year, you know?
No. Nope.
And I know last year probably doesn't feel optimal because of the way they got beat up and stuff, but like every data point you needed, you did get, mm-hmm. you know? And like, and again, you just,
and
you
I would take that injury luck again. Like we were sitting there being
doesn't it sound great to lose only like 40 games of Evan, Darius, and Donovan combined. And then when they're out, and I think the biggest difference is when those guys were out there last year, they were great. Mm-hmm. If they weren't out there, the Cavs missed them and they had less depth to accommodate.
Yeah, like Darius had the eye thing, and that was annoying. It was frustrating. It took him a little while to find his footing, but then still for the season, you know, he averaged 22-8. Only Jokic was better when it came to assist to turnovers for those high usage players. Defense was improved, career best efficiency. You had the last 40 game stretch where Mobley was averaging 18-10. Garland was averaging 22-8. Mitchell was giving you like 26. Allen was still averaging over 15 points per game, and like his scoring went up with Mobley. Like everything was trending, all this positive momentum was building in the right direction. And right now the only thing that we have that's trending in the right direction is Evan Mobley looks freaking awesome. Like since
Mobley, and this is, I think, actually go ahead and read the stats, then I'll go into my discussion topic.
Yeah, so Mobley's been back for 7 games, obviously, you know, working his way back. I think the minute restriction is gone, but when you look at his per 36 stats since he's returned, he's averaging 22.3 points per game, 8.5 rebounds, 5.1 assists, 2.3 stocks, and shooting about 67% from the field. He is also 8 of 14 from 3, and I think, like, it looks noticeably more confident. Like, his base, when he has his feet set and he's, you know, not drifting or anything like that, the form looks just a little bit more consistent. It looks more confident. And, you know, it's another one of those kind of signs of, man, when he puts it all together, it's going to get very exciting. So in a time where we've been kind of looking for that water in the desert here, I think the way that Evan Mobley's been playing recently is something that, you know, we can kind of hang our hat on to a little bit. And it's also one of those things that, hey, Mobley is acting as a hub, and this might be something that we can lean on if we're trying to compensate for the guard play not being at the level that we're accustomed to.
That was the crux of what I wanted to get to. And I mean, yeah, he's
been you a lot, buddy.
Yeah, he's been really the easiest thing to be excited about post All-Star break by a country mile, you know. I think the scoring looks as good as it's ever been, and like, I know the team is talked quite a bit about Mobley as a hub, as a high post option. I also think that as currently constituted right now, isn't he the best road we have to consistent rim pressure?
Yeah, I think so.
And I feel like when this team is generating pressure at the rim, everything gets easier for them, you know? Because this team at its worst can get real horizontal with their offense. Mm-hmm. They just go side to side to side, and just an army of dribble handoffs that yield a semi advantage, but isn't pressed. That's this team at its worst. And with Donovan not turning the corner like he normally does, with Darius's finishing at the rim probably the worst it's been since his rookie year. Yeah. You know, smoke in that baseline layup against Phoenix was a pretty scary canary in the coal mine. Then, okay, so we know right now it's just not playing into our favor to have our guards run the offense. So what if we just have Evan run more? What if he runs more post-ups? He ran a dribble handoff.
That was
more
awesome.
More high post action with in running splits off ball, leverage the shooting of these guys, which, you know, Darius, for all his ups and downs, at least mostly is shooting the ball quite well post All-Star break. Donovan can get teams going after him that way. And like, I don't know, like if you said, Carter, Evan Mobley is going to lead the team in field goal attempts and usage rate for the last five games of the year. I just think it's a worthy experiment because in the end, they will at least they'll at least give Evan the volume that he's never gotten thus far due to the team having so many options around him and test him in that way. But also, it's just like, I just feel like of the spots where I'm looking to compensate for the guards just not playing at the level they did last year, I don't see a better option, dude. I don't think Craig Porter Jr. is ready just to come in and play 20 minutes. Max Strus, Evan, you know, Max Strus running pick and roll can only take you so far. Karras is just, there's a ceiling on that playmaking at the highest level. So, like, when I'm looking at the options, I feel like just running your normal stuff in the exact at the exact volume that you normally run it with Donovan and Darius in the state they're in is, I just think it's banging your head against the wall. And I want them to try to maximize the personnel they have on the floor as they are in the current form they're in. And I think they have the ability to do so. I don't think this has to be a huge departure from who they are. I just think they need to lean in a little more to the parts that are going well.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep expert. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
I agree with everything you said in your little soliloquy there. I want to ask you a question, though. Normally, you know, you go on a rant, I go on a rant, and that's the flow of this here podcast. But do you think there's something to the fact that, like, we are so desperate for Evan Mobley to provide that rim pressure that it might play into his favor where you're not getting, like, the little turnarounds and stuff like that? It's, hey, Evan, go attack the basket. Go put the body into guys, like, initiate that contact. Do you think, like, almost being forced into that role is something that can pay long-term dividends? Because I think, like, when you look at what Evan Mobley can do, I'm more interested with him going downhill, being decisive with a couple moves, you know, putting a shoulder into guys, finishing around them, because there's just not enough players that have kind of the size, speed, and strength, because you need to have all three in order to kind of disrupt his rhythm. And I think sometimes he lets defenders off the hook. Do you think there's something to that as a concept?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the Cavs can do a lot of things that play in his favor there. You know, going to that high post and having him read a split cut and kind of dribbling into a dribble handoff or running an inverted pick and roll where he gets a smaller player kind of backpedaling and he can just attack the hoop. I don't want a parade of Evan Mobley post-ups where he catches the ball 12 feet from the hoop and bumps and bumps and bumps. Like, no, I want them to use him in the way that makes him special, which is as a face up guy, as a dribble driver, mashing some switches.
Catching the ball with movement. The ball with movement. Like, we need to have movement in the offense no matter what, because as much as guys are tired and they're fatigued and they're playing through injuries, it's going to be harder to attack a set defense in that state. It's counterintuitive. It's like, oh, you don't want to waste too much energy when you don't have as much to give. But getting guys moving, catching the ball with momentum and attacking a destabilized defense, like, that's what you want to see. I agree with you. I don't want the Evan Mobley post-ups. I want him rolling to the basket. I want him coming off cuts. If you want to get funky and have, you know, inverted dribble handoffs anything you want to do to get a little bit weird and get him attacking the ball with or attacking the basket with some pace, that's what I want to see, because I feel like we've gone far too stagnant at times over the stretch.
Here's probably the simplest way to put it. Who's our best offensive player since the All-Star break?
God, it might be Ev.
I think it is Evan. And what do you do with the best offensive player you have? In terms of the current form, you feed him. You let him eat. You let him figure things out. And is it ideal that Evan has been our best offensive player? I would say no, because we know that Darius and Donovan's ceilings are much higher. And even sometimes Jared's ceiling has been higher over the course of this year. But right now, none of those guys' ceilings none of those three are at their ceiling. So Evan is in the best form, he's playing the best, and he's our most important prospect. Seems like a great cocktail to say, hey, brother, see what you can do to help carry a team. Because that's one thing. I'm sorry, I keep ranting a little bit, but it is interesting to me.
Man.
That is one thing we have never asked Evan to do at a functional level. He has always been able to be a supplementary helper and an elite supplementary helper. Very rarely thus far in his 3-year career have we said, Evan, we need you to carry us. I think the Cavs need Evan to carry them.
I agree with that. And just like you are carrying this here podcast, which I appreciate, because as I stated earlier, my voice doesn't seem to be cooperating today. But I agree, man. Like, and I think, honestly, there's been a lot of defenses funneling passes to Jared. Like, even though Jared's been making smart passes off the short roll and he's still effective, like, the efficiency's dropped down a little bit. And you know what? Sometimes I wonder if just, like, the cumulative struggles that the Cavs have had make me more frustrated when there's not the finishing around the rim. Like, this is the most efficient finisher in Cavs franchise history. And even with that standard, he makes, you know, 67% of shots, not 100% of shots around the rim. So I got to cut him some slack there. But, like, I feel like defenses are living with Jared Allen being such a large part of the offense. And I feel like Evan in that place, or just reallocating a little bit, can help Jared be more effective with the touches he gets. I feel like Evan's ability as a playmaker is more advanced than Jared, so it's going to create opportunities for everybody else. And as you said, it does pay off those long-term dividends of, hey, nothing's going according to plan right now, but we can at least get these developmental reps, and it might be our cleanest path to functional offense in the short term as well. Like, I don't want to, you know, overcorrect where the guards aren't still getting those reps, because you still need to develop that stuff, even if it isn't working well, because, hey, develop the chemistry, try to gain some confidence. Like, you don't want to, you know, go strictly to 100% Evan Mobley as the initiator, but I do think, you know, a heavier dose of that would be interesting here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the guards are crazy dominating the ball, but they took 34 shots against Phoenix.
Yeah.
You know, if that goes down to 28 and 6 of those shots go to Evan, 5 of those shots go to Evan, and he's up to 16, 17, 18 attempts a night, that just feels right to me. I'm more interested in touches and touch time as kind of my barometer. But, you know, who's to say? I mean, we're not coaching the team, so they might do none of this.
There was an interesting point made in our Discord that I think ties into this, because I think it's been applicable even in this stretch with the struggles. But when you think of teams with, you know, two ball-dominant perimeter players, often one of the, you know, tension points that comes up is they're not feeding the bigs. Like, the bigs aren't getting enough touches. And it's really interesting to me that that has never really been the case. Like, with Darius and Donovan, Jared and Evan still get a ton of touches every single game. Like, that is... And maybe that's a function of how prominent, you know, pick and roll and involving those guys in the offense, whether it's the dribble handoffs or the release valves when they get blitzed and stuff like that. Maybe that's a part of it. But it is interesting to me that, you know, them getting touches has never really been that big of a concern. We're not sitting there being like, man, like, Evan's gone a quarter without getting a touch. It just doesn't really seem to happen.
No. I think they do a fine job at keeping everyone involved. It's like, it's just, what are the end outcomes that you're looking for? You know, right now the offense is built to have Darius and Donovan orchestrate and, you know, either start or finish most plays. I just think I want to see that pendulum just tilt just a little bit.
It's going to be interesting, man. This back-to-back in LA, this is not the time. Man, like, it's so funny that when you have this stretch of, as we said, 24 and 42 days, so many travel games, like, it's just so, like, evil to have a five-game West Coast trip and that trek, right? Like, that's just as difficult a scheduling as it can be. And, you
listen,
know,
we got to get the final fours in Cleveland. It's still fun.
Hey man, that's cool as hell. That's cool as hell. I loved listening to the comments and whatnot there. But like, if I'm trying to look for those morsels, right? Like, I'm always going to try to see what's the most optimistic take that you can realistically have. I'm really hoping that, you know, fatigue from this stretch and the traveling that they've had is playing a larger factor in all this. Like, I think all these problems are real and they're present and they're things that they're going to have to work on, but it might look a little worse than it is just because of how long they've been in this state. So, you know, as you mentioned, the games that they're going to have to play and the travel is coming to an end. They're going to have a lot more time off. Hopefully they can right the ship, because we've seen this season how high the ceiling can be when everything's clicking with this team. And I think if you can even get back to like 85% of Donovan and Darius, that's enough with how good this supporting cast is, with, you know, the growth we've seen in Mobley, how good Jared Allen is, how important Max Strus, George Niang finding his form. Like, all these things have been trending in the right direction outside of like the two straws that stir the drink. And if we can get those two on the right track, there's a chance that we can turn this around in time and still accomplish our long-term goals for the season, which was win a round of the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll be podcasting after the two LA games. Big thanks to everyone that tuned in live on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe. Click the notification bell so you know when we're going live. If you're listening via podcast and you want to support us, leave us a rating, leave a review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. If you want to be part of Chasedown's exclusive Discord chat, send a screenshot of the review to chasedownpod@gmail.com. However you choose to support us, we really do appreciate it. Make sure you guys are staying safe out there. Until next time, go Cavs.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my! Look at that! He is! And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win! Unbelievable!
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.